24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and listen to classic episodes of Superhuman Radio. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Listen Now button.
This is the Superhuman Channel, where we use oxygen for the power of good.
The following paid program does not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of the staff and management of Tri-Scepter Productions or the Superhuman Channel. Tri-Scepter Productions and the Superhuman Channel are not responsible for any claims, warranties, or guarantees made during this program.
Prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled.
From the studio gym where excuses never apply.
It's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Hey, welcome back to Thursday at Superhuman Radio. Today we will be talking with David Aiello from BioAdvantech Pharmaceuticals, because we're going to explore this whole linkage between N-acetylcysteine and performance. It's really intriguing, and it's something that deserves your attention. In fact, quite by accident, unbeknownst to me, Rob Regish touched on it during the Tuesday Blueprint Power Hour, and we're going to build on that as well. Then later in the show, we'll be joined all the way from Munster, Germany, by the brilliant and talented Adele Musa as we perform the Subversity Science Roundup, where Adele applies the Subversity Sniff Test to science in the news. And just for those of you who are having a difficult time, we will be connecting to Adele via Skype using a pretty decent microphone today. So I'm hoping that those of you who have been complaining about the quality of audio, that will no longer be a problem during his interview. Just want to remind everybody that AgeForce, through the 23rd of this month, is continuing to offer their 50% off stocking stuffer program. Every single patch at AgeForce is 50% off. All of them. Get some for yourself. Get some for your friends. Give the gift of AgeForce this year by picking up patches and giving them to people in their stockings. Okay. Let's move on. David Aiello, how are you, sir?
Hey, I'm good, Carl. Thank you.
Yes, very good. And interestingly enough, you did, I notified you that quite by accident, Rob Regish, kind of started talking about N-acetylcysteine because of its powerful, effects, ergogenic effects in reducing, fatigue and so on. And we had already planned to do this show before that. So I hope he didn't steal our thunder, but we're going to try to build on that. Okay.
Well, yeah, I mean, he was very informed. I was really impressed with his comments.
Yeah. And we have three different studies that you forwarded over. So let's start with this. When did they discover that N-acetylcysteine even had any potential ergogenic effects for sports performance?
Well, the first study was way back in 1994. I mean, the first meaningful clinical work that was done. And there was a notion that there's a lot of oxidative stress that happens when a person is exercising, and that doesn't necessarily mean weightlifting. We're also talking about really any athletic activity, you know, from cycling to powerlifting.
Right.
And, you know, they thought that, well, maybe there's athletes are always struggling with fatigue or with muscle soreness, delayed onset muscle soreness, or they just want to perform better at their peak. So does this oxidative process, you know, cause a person to stop working out or stop working, or and if we ameliorate that oxidative stress, can we still do more work?
Right. And this really is the goal of most ergogenics. And most ergogenics are designed to mitigate the onset of fatigue. When you really think about it, creatine monohydrate is probably one of the most studied ergogenic products in the world, also an amino acid. And what it basically does is allows you to recycle ATP faster, and as a result, eke out maybe 1, 2, 3 more reps so that you can train a little bit harder, again, mitigating fatigue. The same is true of amino acids like beta-alanine. Beta-alanine quenches hydrogen ions and reduces the speed in which lactate builds up in the muscle, and hence pushes the fatigue threshold out further, so endurance athletes can push harder for a longer period of time. And here's yet another amino acid that appears to have some similar effects. Now, what is the pathway that N-acetylcysteine works through? We understand how beta-alanine and creatine works. How does N-acetylcysteine work?
Well, let's back up a little and say what was studied.
Okay.
So, when people looked at, doctors looked at maximum rep weight, so how much could a person do in a single rep, then they gave them, you know, one group had high dose NAC, other had low dose NAC, and the others had no NAC, just had placebo. And they found there was really no change in that. It didn't affect your maximum that you could push. However, when they took a look at a person or the group of people at 80% of their peak, they found that they were able, depending, there was two studies. One showed a 26% increase, another showed a 15% increase in the duration of work.
Right.
So if you're operating not at peak where you're just going to fail after one rep, but you're doing your regular workout at 80% of peak, then in these studies it showed that you were able to do a lot more work. So you're able to push better, you're able to push a little more eventually because you're training your muscles to grow and to be stronger, to have more endurance. So the pathway for that is a kind of respiratory endurance.
Right.
So a lot of people will run out of gas when they're working out because their respiratory muscles have become overtaxed. You know, they have a kind of aerobic effect, right? And there's a shift in cardiac output about when that happens, when the person is becoming winded, between 14 and 16% of their cardiac output is shifted to their respiratory muscles. So that indicates two things. One is that a lot of blood is not going into your muscles, so you're going to get sore faster.
Right.
But it also means that your respiratory muscles, meaning the muscles that you use to breathe,
right, that actually power the bellows, so to speak. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That are allowing you to breathe. You can't breathe without the muscles around the lungs sucking air in.
So that's why it's applicable to, you know, the cyclist and the runner, just as it is applicable to the
strength athlete,
the guy in the gym,
right? Okay. Now there's something else that should be mentioned here. And that is that N-acetylcysteine is one of the few amino acids that actually has made it into the pharmaceutical drug realm, that is actually prescribed by doctors. There's another potential benefit that isn't probably discussed as much, is that it's a mucolytic agent. And what I mean by that is that it thins out mucus that actually can build up. Anybody who's done endurance or high-intensity training, and especially in a colder environment, you know that the fluids in your throat and your mouth, they get thick, and this thickness actually can hamper your breathing from a different perspective, from the perspective of actually causing a narrowing of airways and so on. And one of the things that N-acetylcysteine does is it actually thins out the mucus, so to speak. Not a pleasant subject to talk about, but one that is not discussed about N-acetylcysteine's benefits. And anybody who's run for long distances or trains at high intensities knows, you know, just swallowing sometimes becomes arduous because your saliva gets so thick under the exposure of heavy training. N-acetylcysteine can benefit you just from that standpoint alone. Never mind the fact that it seems to mitigate the fatigue in the muscles responsible for helping you breathe. So it really is an amazing, very underestimated amino acid that is not underestimated by the pharmaceutical industry, because doctors do prescribe N-acetylcysteine for a variety of reasons, don't they?
Yes, when we talk to Europeans, like, they've been using acetylcysteine. It's the third most common drug in Germany, for example, on OTC medicine.
Really?
You know, after acetaminophen and aspirin is acetylcysteine. It's a massive drug there. So people are taking it for 30 years, for, you know, cough, cold, and flu, acute and chronic bronchitis, because it works as a mucolytic. It's very, very safe. It has almost no toxicity profile for anybody. And, you know, they just kind of can't get over it. And it's really a kind of, an accidental blindness that the, you know, North American medical profession has has just kind of taken along with it, and it's an orthodoxy of, well, we don't understand NAC, so it really doesn't matter. So we've been trying to educate, you know, physicians, and they've been picking up on that and just said, well, I never knew there was all this evidence on it. And so we've seen the physician community really pick that up and recommend it to a lot of people. I want to tell you something else about mucus. You know, sorry, go ahead.
No, please, go.
Oh, okay. On mucus, like, a lot of people have digestive problems, another unpleasant subject. They may have gas or constipation. And very often, I can't say with everybody, but in many cases, that's because of the excess mucus in the gut, in the digestive system. And so we've seen people who taking a moderate amount of acetylcysteine every day have a very rapid response of a loosening of all this gunk that's stuck in their bowel or in their small intestine. And, you know, it's a couple of days of distress where they actually may feel a little more bloated, or, you know, they're just, all this stuff is coming out of them. But thank God, because a lot of that, you know, abdominal presence, if you will, is not fat. It's, you know, gas or other stuff that's stuck there.
Right.
And a lot of that is bound up with mucus. And when the mucus gets kind of bound with the feces, it can cause digestive you know, pains and gas issues and stuff. So, you know,
it's hard. It's going to be hard for us to break this line of thought right now, talking about mucus and feces. So we have to take a break, David. I'm gonna save you right now. And when we come back, we're gonna get back on the track of N-acetylcysteine as a performance enhancing amino acid. We're talking this hour with David Aiello from BioAdvantex Pharmaceuticals, or BioAdvantex Pharma for short. And they are offering our audience a buy one, get one free on a very, very unique form of N-acetylcysteine that we'll talk more about as the show progresses. You're listening to Superhuman Radio. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right, buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household.
You already know about Titan Organics Virgin Coconut Oil, and that Carl says it's the best in the world. Titan has raw organic honey from the Brazilian rainforest, produced under sustainable and environmentally conscious conditions. It's a creamy, non-filtered, rare honey. Or check out their 100% organic raw agave nectar from the lush, pristine farms in Tequila, Mexico. A naturally low glycemic sweetener. You can trust Titan Organics to provide the best raw products found anywhere. Go to superhumanradio.com and save 15% off any purchase when you use the coupon code TITAN15. That's TITAN15.
AnabolicMinds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your question. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn. Teach. Lead.
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high-protein, low-carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high-quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com. And click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
It's estimated that the majority of multivitamins simply get flushed down the toilet due to poor digestibility. Well, that's all changed thanks to Age Force. Now you can get 16 of the most important essential vitamins combined with 6 of the most effective antioxidants directly into your bloodstream with the new Age Force 8-hour delivery multivitamin patch. And for a limited time, get a buy one, get one free on this groundbreaking new patch. This patch is sure to change change the way people take their vitamins. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Age Force Multivitamin Patch banner ad today. People who are looking for performance and health benefits, turn to WayNaturalUSA.com. WayNaturalUSA produces the only whey protein from Amish grass-fed cows raised right here in the USA. You cannot get the same quality whey protein anywhere else, period. WayNaturalUSA is cold-processed through the patented Chill-Rite process, so all of the undenatured fractions of whey stay intact. There's only three ingredients in WayNaturalUSA: grass-fed whey protein concentrate, organic flavor, and stevia. Nothing else. Go to WayNaturalUSA.com today and find out what you've been missing. WHEYNaturalUSA.com.
Your radio just got ripped. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We're talking this hour with David Aiello from BioAdvantix Pharma. You go to superhumanradio.com, you'll see a banner ad there. You get a buy one, get one free. One of the most advanced forms of N-acetylcysteine you'll find anywhere. In fact, this is an N-acetylcysteine that's actually prescribed by doctors to their patients. Obviously, it's an over-the-counter product because you can buy it too. Go to superhumanradio.com and learn more. Okay, getting back to the subject at hand. One of the ways that N-acetylcysteine seems to help attenuate fatigue all the way around. I mean, not just in the muscles that are responsible for breathing, but in muscles in general, is by upregulating the body's glutathione-producing system that has an effect on reactive oxygen species and actually allows the body to dispel a lot of its metabolic gunk, if you will, that builds up as a waste product during exercise, isn't it?
Yeah, I think that the issue is a little more complex than that, in that there's a dimension of antioxidant activity in general. People think of, you know, glutathione as an antioxidant. If there's an oxidative species there, like an oxygen or peroxide ion, that is just going to mop it up and prevent cell damage. But if we've also tried vitamin C, vitamin E, and beta carotene in athletes and various type of aerobic and gym-centered activity, and it really didn't matter at all, that there was no real response to it in terms of the person's power output. So there's something else other than the antioxidant activity. And one of the things that glutathione does is that it changes the cysteine coupling to other molecules on the surface of muscle cells.
Okay.
And so we think that it's that study that was done in 2009 by this guy called Ferreira. He showed that when glutathione is donating cysteine to other molecules and conjugating with them, that you're changing the redox state of muscle cells themselves, and there's an unknown kind of intracellular signaling that happens that changes. And that's really important to the fatigue process.
Interesting. Now, obviously, yeah, this is not just in endurance athletes. This is anyone who pushes a muscle or group of muscles to the point of fatigue.
Right, to the point of especially respiratory fatigue. So, I mean, it's well known that people just get winded and they feel like they have to stop because they're afraid of running out of air or they're afraid of running out of power. And so if you can enhance your respiratory performance, you're able to do the work for longer. If you can delay that muscle fatigue in your respiratory system as well as in your muscles, then when you're doing moderate intensity exercises, then preloading yourself with NAC is shown to help.
Well, but I'm not as well versed about the science as you are, but I have to say that it goes beyond, in my humble opinion. And again, I'm not accredited, so I can stick my size 13 foot in my mouth often. But I believe that it goes far beyond respiratory function. And I know that there's a study, I want to say, that was done in 2004 that showed that supplementing with N-acetylcysteine improved and increased muscle tissue cysteine content. And that study was done on the quadriceps, I think the vastus lateralis or something, one of the quadricep muscles. They saw that supplementing increased the quenching of reactive oxygen species because it increased muscle tissue cysteine content. And that had nothing to do. That was done on fatigue of the quadricep muscle in and of itself. So I really feel that it goes, I know that your focus here is on the ability to maintain respiratory efficiency and quotient, but I think it does that to other muscles in the body simultaneously.
You know, I just don't emphasize that. I believe you're right. The thing is that the evidence is somewhat equivocal because who knows why. Sometimes people didn't dose enough NAC in their study, or they used the wrong product and it was maybe already degraded or oxidized and it wasn't as active. So, I mean, there's some methodological defects in studies that we just can't know about. So that's why some of the studies show that donating a thiolate through a cysteine can help, muscle performance, and some don't.
I have this study in front of me. It was performed by the University of Melbourne, and it was done in 2004. And the conclusion was that NAC improved overall performance in well-trained individuals with enhanced muscle cysteine and CSH availability. I'm sure that CSH is, no, GSH, which was glutathione, availability, and likely the mechanism that warded off fatigue. And this was done on quadricep muscles.
Uh-huh.
So,
yeah.
I mean, you know.
That's coming back to my mind. Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, I mean, so, you know, again, the body, you know, I clearly appreciate the importance of respiration, because I did research in the year 2001 on the potential for hyperoxia to mitigate fatigue for people who were doing cardiovascular training. And just by increasing the quantity of oxygen in inspired air by a couple percent actually caused the sense of perceived exhaustion to push out so much further that people were able to train harder. So I understand the importance of respiratory function and its effect on a whole body fatigue, because there's a negative feedback loop that the brain is monitoring. If the lungs can't keep up with the workload, the brain starts to shut everything down to meet the lungs' capacity. And so I appreciate that, but I have a feeling that cysteine supplementation enhances a lot of different muscles, at least the ones that they've studied, because of the increased ability to rid the muscle to rid itself of metabolic byproducts that are produced during strenuous exercise. Now, with that being said.
Yeah, and that does that in a way that any other antioxidant doesn't do.
There you go. Now, with that being said, what are the successful doses to pre-dose with if you were going to go train this afternoon, for instance?
Yeah, so the what I'm looking at is about 2400 to 3600 milligrams an hour before training.
Okay. Now, let me ask you a question. I remember reading research, and this is a long time, probably 1999, that showed that there was a point of diminishing returns in the antioxidant value of N-acetylcysteine. There was a point where it was powerful antioxidant, and then once you passed a certain threshold, it became a pro-oxidative stress mechanism. Is that true, or was I misunderstanding that?
Well, no, you understood the study right. The thing is that study was not ever replicated, and it's been kind of marginalized by the medical community as something that is an artifact of their methodology and not really valid. So it's not really biologically valid. What really happens is that if you take in, say, more cysteine than you need, then your liver is going to store it as cysteine or make glutathione of it, out of it, and store it in liver cells until you need it. And, you know, it's really not going to, you can't overdose on the stuff. So the studies do show that the best performance enhancement for moderate intensity exercise, and like to prolong that time to exhaustion by that 25% that we're looking for, is done in fairly high doses.
Okay.
So
doses again were how much?
Like 2,100 to 3,600 milligrams a day.
So 2 grams to 3 grams. But should that entire dose be taken pre-workout, or should it?
Yeah, the whole thing should be taken about an hour before the workout.
An hour, and that's when it's
going to
showing up.
Because it takes you about an hour for your liver to deacetylate the, just to process the cysteine and make it available to your cells. It takes about an hour for it to do that. If you still can't work out for another hour, that's okay. In other words, the effect will last for about 3 hours. But you need to take it an hour before the effect starts.
Okay. Now, why the attachment to nitrogen molecule for the N in the acetylcysteine? Why not just take acetylcysteine?
I think that's just the way that it's most stable.
Oh, okay. All right. Well,
yeah.
And we have to take a break, but that's going to be the next discussion. I want to talk about stability, because this is one of those amino acids that becomes unstable. And we want to talk about that, because while you may think you're getting a really great deal on your N-acetylcysteine, if half of it has broken down to other things, then you're paying twice as much than you think you are. So we're going to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we're going to pick it up. We're talking with David Aiello from BioVantage Pharma, and we're talking about the benefits of N-acetylcysteine supplementation pre-workout. Really, really intriguing. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
In der Hand, wunderbar. Ich muss es einfach in sie hingehen. Auf das Dauer bist du nicht draufgeschüttet. Ja.
BioAdvantex Pharmaceuticals produces the highest quality pharmaceutical grade N-acetylcysteine in an advanced effervescent delivery system. NAC has been clinically shown to improve performance, reduce fatigue, and increase power output. NAC is ideal for the high-intensity interval training athlete, as it is shown to reduce respiratory fatigue. BioAdvantex PharmaNAC has the highest bioavailability of any supplement in its class. Buy one, get one free of PharmaNAC when you use the coupon code SHR. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the PharmaNAC banner. Ad. Pharmanac, there's nothing else like it.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. WiseChoiceMedicine.net. CanSee Eye Drops. The name says it all.
Orbit Nutrition carries over 1,000 of the hottest nutritional supplements, performance enhancers, and nutraceuticals on the planet. And now, Superhuman Radio listeners get an additional 5% off their everyday low prices by using the coupon code SHR5. That's SHR and the number 5. Choose from products like Quest Protein Bars, iForce Nutrition, Iron Mag Labs, and more. Check out Orbit's daily deals for special insane blowout prices. Log on to the Orbit Nutrition Forum and get feedback about the products you're shopping for, and get an additional 5% off using the coupon code SHR5. Orbit Nutrition. Fast, reliable, competitive, international. Why shop anywhere else?
Iron Mag Labs is the leading supplement company offering the most hardcore pro-anabolic supplements. Visit IronMagLabs.com and check out our top-selling products. Asta RX, Halo Extreme, Sinustain RX, E-Control RX, Decadrol Max, Ultramale RX. Iron Mag Labs make supplements that actually work. No hype, no BS, just real results. There's a reason you keep hearing about Iron Mag Labs. Come see what you're missing. Visit Iron Mag Labs at IronMagLabs.com for the most hardcore bodybuilding supplements.
It's estimated that the majority of multivitamins simply get flushed down the toilet due to poor digestibility. Well, that's all changed thanks to AgeForce. Now you can get 16 of the most important essential vitamins combined with 6 of the most effective antioxidants directly into your bloodstream with the new AgeForce 8-hour delivery multivitamin patch. And for a limited time, get a buy one, get one free on this groundbreaking new patch. This patch is sure to change the way people take their vitamins. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the AgeForce multivitamin patch banner ad today. People who are looking for performance and health benefits turn to WayNaturalUSA.com. WayNaturalUSA produces the only whey protein from Amish grass-fed cows raised right here in the USA. You cannot get the same quality whey protein anywhere else, period. WayNaturalUSA is cold processed through the patented Chill-Rite process, so all of the undenatured fractions of whey stay intact. There's only three ingredients in WayNaturalUSA: grass-fed whey protein concentrate, organic flavor, and stevia. Nothing else. Go to WayNaturalUSA.com today and find out what you've been missing. WHEYNaturalUSA.com.
Build muscle, burn fat. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. Later in the show, we'll be joined by Adele Musa, author of Subversity.com, for the Subversity Science Roundup. Right now, we're talking with David Aiello from BioAdvantex Pharma. Okay, David, the supplement industry has been throwing around the term pharmaceutical grade for so long that it has no meaning any longer. You agree with that?
Well, unfortunately, yeah, you don't know what to think. The industry is by nature in the supplement industry self-regulated in that FDA for supplement products does not require the government to receive assays of products or for companies to do assays of raw materials when they get them. What they are required to do is to investigate it, like companies are required under the law to investigate it, keep records, satisfy themselves, and if the government ever asked, then, you know, provide evidence. The thing is that the government hasn't have a lot of people hanging around just wondering about these things, so they tend to go after high-risk products and, you know, serious cases of misrepresentation and fraud, but it doesn't really address the whole quality issue for the general, you know, consumer of nutraceutical products.
Now, so, with that being said, you actually originally made Pharmanac for doctors. Your goal was not to be out there in the supplement industry. There's a lot of doctors who prescribe for their patients the use. Is prescribed the right terminology, or is it recommend, since it's not a prescription drug?
You would
drug?
Call it recommend, since
they,
it's
okay.
an OTC
they
product.
They recommend Pharmanac for their patients for a variety of different reasons. With that being said, what's the difference between the N-acetylcysteine that you're providing in the Pharmanac versus something that somebody can buy at a raw powder shop, for instance?
Well, the factory in which the N-acetylcysteine is produced is an FDA-approved factory. It is the identical raw material as is used in hospitals for acetaminophen rescue. You know, there's about 100,000 people in the developed world and about 40,000 in the United States who go to hospital every year because of Tylenol toxicity.
Right.
Just they've taken too much. So when they get there, they're going to get an injection of high-dose IV NAC. And that has been the protocol for rescuing people from that liver toxicity for decades. So that exact molecule that is made for that pharmaceutical product is made in our Pharmanac product. Then what we do is we take that active product and we put it in a no-oxygen nitrogen environment into a tablet, in an effervescent tablet, and then we seal it.
When you seal it in these bubble sealed packets, is there nitrogen in that packet, or is it vacated of air? How do you keep it airtight?
It's done by nitrogen flush at the time of packaging.
Okay, so now let's talk about that first before we talk about effervescence. Okay, So the one of the challenges with N-acetylcysteine is that it is a sulfur-based amino acid and it oxidizes easily, which then yields the smell of rotten eggs. Anybody who's ever bought N-acetylcysteine raw powder or capsules know when you open the bottle, there will either be a mild, moderate, or strong smell of rotting eggs, which is the sulfur portion of the cysteine becoming oxidized. Now, if I smell a strong smell of rotten eggs, what does that tell me about this product in this bottle?
It tells you that you got to be a little concerned. The reason that your body, God, made you so that you can detect hydrogen sulfide, which is that smell molecule, with such exquisite sensitivity is because it's toxic. So, if you do, the last thing a person would want to do is eat a rotten egg, and that's exactly the physical reaction. Your body doesn't want you to have it.
Right.
So if you find it so noxious that it's really upsetting to you, it's best just to not use that product. Cheap NAC is available all over the place, and going back to your point of pharmaceutical grade, I mean, something might have been pharmaceutical grade, after it touched 3 or 4 or 5 people before it got to the supplement manufacturer. God knows when that was. Certificates of compliance and certificates of analysis are only pieces of paper. And unfortunately, it's a sad thing. There is a need for the industry to provide better quality control, especially for this molecule.
Okay, now let's talk a little bit more about this molecule for a second. So clearly, we are genetically designed to, when we smell that, for us to be repulsed by it, because genetically we don't want to eat things that smell like that because they tend to be poisonous. Are the metabolites that are converted through oxidation in N-acetylcysteine, are they dangerous to us? Are they toxic to us? Is it a bad smell, but you can take
right.
it anyway. Don't worry about it.
So, I mean, there's two elements to it. There's one degradation product called hydrogen sulfide, which is the smell product, and that in high enough doses is toxic. It's unlikely that you would ever eat enough of it in a supplement capsule to have a toxic amount that would harm you or kill you, but, God forbid, but it is, nevertheless, it's a signal, that smell is a signal that there's some amount of, unwanted product in there. The other aspect of it is when NAC dimerizes, it oxidizes to di-N-acetylcysteine, that molecule has an opposite physiological effect than NAC. And it operates at almost 100 times the potency of NAC. So if you have 1% of the NAC oxidized into di-NAC, NAC can be a stable molecule if it's handled right. The thing is, we just don't know how it was handled.
Right.
It could have been exposed to a tremendous amount of air and moisture, 3 warehouses before it got to your, nice,
supplement
honest nutritional supplement manufacturer, and he doesn't know. And so, it just gets used. Even if 1% of it is oxidized, it potentially has no biological effect on you. And
so what you're saying is the di-NAC will cancel out the NAC.
Exactly.
And that makes sense. And what makes sense is if it's just 1% and it's 100 times stronger, that means the other 99% is completely
nothing.
Canceled
exactly.
out.
Exactly. Right. So you're creating this kind of storm inside the body when you use, NAC that isn't really good, that is kind of a war of the NAC against the di-NAC. Why do that? That's not what we do in medicine. So BioNTech started off as a research company. We started off researching psychiatric and pulmonary diseases with acetylcysteine and immunodeficiency disease. And, we've proceeded as a research company. Now we realize that there's really good clinical evidence in a number of disease areas that we sponsored research, so we want to provide the product to people, and we can because of its classification as an amino acid.
Right, right. And is it fair to assume that if some portion of my NAC is oxidized to this sulfur-smelling compound, that some of it also has converted to the di-NAC as well? Or is that two separate reactions that one does not guarantee the other has occurred?
They are two separate reactions, but they degrade for the same reason. So that's why you still have to be the noxious sulfur smell. The normal smell of NAC is, even when it's pure, is distinct. But it's not upsetting unless it has degraded. And if it becomes upsetting to you, then it is a risk that there is some oxidized NAC there, which is going to work against your normal NAC that you really want.
Okay, Stephen Lay, who's the director of marketing and sales here, just texted me a message because he's always listening to the show. And he said, how long does it take to make a difference? Is it like beta-alanine or is it faster? What he's asking is, is the onset of ergogenic effects from NAC acute? In other words, from the first dose on, or do you have to load with it to where your body?
No, there. It's good. Very good question. It's immediate. So a person should be able to notice a change in their performance from the first time they do it. So if a person were to take, you know, 3 or 4 Pharmanac in a real big glass of water an hour before their training, then they should be able to notice better performance in that session.
Yeah, and this is really good. This is really good information. And I want people to know something, kind of a behind-the-scenes discussion that happened with me and Mendel, your director of marketing for this particular product line. You know, I had to twist their arm to do a buy one, get one free, and the reason is, this is a really expensive product to produce, and they have no shortage of sales within the medical community because it works for the reasons that they're prescribing it. And I said, look, you guys have to do a buy one, get one free. We just have to get it into people's hands so that they can try it. So those of you who are
listening, using it is going to make all the difference. Yeah.
Well, and that's what I'm saying. You know, if it doesn't work, you're never going to buy it again. And that doesn't do, BioAdvantex any, benefit to mislead you. But what I am going to tell you is, I've said on this show before that the beauty of supplements and the problem with supplements is the same. The beauty of supplements is they work. And the problem with them is they work. So you have to treat them like they work. And when you talk about a molecule like N-acetylcysteine and you realize that it really does work, but it's also very fragile, then the idea of going out and buying a raw bulk powder because you're getting what you think is a really great deal may actually backfire on you. Number one, you probably will say, NAC doesn't do anything for me because of the competitiveness of what has oxidized. And number two, the longer it's been out there, the more that's oxidized. You could end up with a net negative effect from it instead of just a push where it just cancels itself out. So I'm telling you, if you want to try and see if N-acetylcysteine works for you, especially if you're a CrossFitter, high-intensity trainer type person, you go into the gym and you hit it very, very hard, you need to try it with Pharmanac to verify its efficacy. And we're going to talk about effervescent delivery when we come back. We're talking with David Aiello. They are a sponsor of the show, Pharmanac. I make no bones about that. The sponsors of the show make the show possible. So always patronize the sponsors whenever possible. Go to superhumanradio.com, click the Pharmanac banner ad today, learn more, and you can get up to 4 boxes in the buy one, get one free. You can buy one, get one free, or you can buy 2, get 2 free. And again, I had to twist Mendel's arm to do that. They're not in need of business, again, because the medical industry is using this product a lot. In fact, Dr. Jared Scarron, to my knowledge, is also using it now with some of his patients. Stay tuned. You're listening to Superhuman Radio. We'll be right back.
I usually avoid protein bars because they're generally just candy in disguise. But that's all changed now. With Quest protein bars, we can enjoy dessert again without the guilt. With 20 grams of whey isolate protein, tons of prebiotic fiber, no sugar added, and only 2 to 6 grams of active carbohydrates per bar, Quest bars will keep you full and lean. I've never endorsed a protein bar before because I simply didn't trust them. That's all changed with the Quest bar. Not just because of what's in them, but more so for what's not. Go to superhumanradio.com today and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad. Start enjoying dessert again. AnabolicMinds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your question. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn, teach, lead.
Calling all men.
The Men's Stack is here from Muscle Gauge Nutrition. The Men's Stack will give you the energy you need to train harder and the materials you need to build new muscle. The Men's Stack includes American Protein Isolate, Stimulant-Free Pre-Workout Alpha Rage, Muscle Pump Activator, L-Arginine, AKG, and Multivitamin Plus Minerals specifically formulated for men. Now, Superhuman Radio listeners can get this Men's Stack for just $99 and free shipping while supplies last. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Muscle Gauge banner ad today.
BioAdvantex Pharmaceuticals produces the highest quality pharmaceutical grade in acetylcysteine in an advanced effervescent delivery system. NAC has been clinically shown to improve performance, reduce fatigue, and increase power output. NAC is ideal for the high-intensity interval training athlete as it is shown to reduce respiratory fatigue. BioAdvantex PharmaNac has the highest bioavailability of any supplement in its class. Buy one, get one free of PharmaNac when you use the coupon code SHR. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the PharmaNac banner ad. PharmaNac, there's nothing else like it. Mass Pro Synthogen is unlike any supplement to come before it, both in form and function. Synthogen is the world's first messenger RNA translation accelerator. Messenger RNA is the rate-limiting step in growing new muscle. Synthogen rapidly stimulates protein synthesis on demand, day or night. Synthogen allows you to train harder, longer, stronger, and more frequently than your competition. Synthogen is the absolute fastest drug-free recovery agent available. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Synthogen banner ad to learn more. Mass Pro Synthogen. When you train with it, you'll gain with it.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. Wisechoicemedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
Listen strong. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We're about 15 minutes away from being joined by the brilliant Adele Musa during the Subversity Science Roundup. Right now we're talking with David Aiello from BioAdvantex Pharma. So, David, why the... I mean, you already have a non-oxidizing product sealed up, ready to go on the shelf. Why add to that the effervescent delivery?
Well, you know, one reason is that in our research protocols, we were, doing clinical trials in young children and in older people. Older people for chronic obstructive pulmonary disease and idiopathic pulmonary fibrosis, which are kind of diseases of old age. And then we also did some work, and it has some psychiatric influence as well for people who have dysregulated glutamate. And that occurs in autism, and it occurs in neutrophils and kids with cystic fibrosis. So in the cystic fibrosis and autism trials, we were dealing with kids as young as 7. So, trying to get a child to drink something that stinks is not going to happen. And trying to get a child to, swallow a couple of big pills isn't really going to happen reliably either, especially if it's a couple times every single day for months. So we made an effervescent product so that it would be portable. You could take the little sachet and put it in your pocket and take it with you and reconstitute it in water when you want. But it's also just easy to drink. A lot of people think, thank God you made me drink a glass of water because I always forget. And it's easy and it's bioavailable. It's the easiest way to absorb it.
Is that because
in the bloodstream?
And that's my question. Does the effervescence somehow create a better, more tolerable environment in the gut to not degrade it further in the highly acidic stomach?
Well, not really the effervescence itself, but the buffering that we do. So we adjust the acidity a little bit so that it's most stable. The effervescence may help in the uptake, the absorption, like the effervescent reaction itself, not just it being a liquid, but it also being fizzy, can also enhance absorption. So it's really the fastest way to get it into you.
Okay, I'm a little confused. Is it a tablet or is it in a sachet? Or is the tablet in a sachet?
It's a tablet, but it's wrapped in a paper foil plastic, layer.
Gotcha.
On each side, and there's perforations. So there's like 4 to a deck with perforations like an X. So you can kind of rip off 1 or 2 tablets out of that deck as you need to and use it when you want.
There's something else that N-acetylcysteine does that actually picks up on a topic that I introduced last Thursday during last week's Subversity Science Roundup. there's a lot of discussion about how androgenic anabolic steroids create strength and increase forced output. And through some cursory review of research that was produced for other reasons, one of the things that I discovered with the help of Adele Musa finding some full studies for me is that the stronger anabolic steroids like trenbolone, for instance, that are well known to produce great increases in strength.
Yeah.
They definitely affect the electrolyte pump, if you will, of muscle cells. They affect the potassium sodium pump of the muscle cells. And when you read the literature, especially some of them that speak about the negative effects on the heart, like rhythm changes, increased stroke and volume of the heart that these stronger anabolic steroids cause, it's very well understood that it does this through the calcium, sodium, and potassium balances in the muscle cells. And so one of the things that I found interesting about N-acetylcysteine is that it actually has the ability to attenuate the decline in the sodium-potassium pump activity in muscle cells. And it's thought that this may be one of the ways that it mitigates fatigue from prolonged exercise. And these studies were done in humans, by the way, that I'm talking about right now, which leads me to go out on a limb here. And again, I'm not a scientist, so I'm not going to be completely, I'm not going to throw caution to the wind. But what I am going to use as a supposition is that if it has the ability to attenuate the decline of these two critical electrolytes that are responsible for contractile, partly responsible for contractile force in muscle fibers, then one would also think that what attenuates fatigue may also increase initial power output. And what I said during the last show was, for those out there who are thinking about experimenting with anabolic steroids for their strength increasing effects, you may want to try to find ways to attenuate, modulate, and affect electrolyte function in muscle cells, because this may be a safer way to gain strength without using hormones that have other potential downstream effects that you may not want. Well, N-acetylcysteine has been shown to attenuate the degradation of the sodium potassium pump in muscle.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think that's real. To me, that's really intriguing.
It is. It is. And, you know, I mean, anabolic steroids also have the effect of when you come off of them, you know, your hormones are completely backwards. And
but David, you know, David, the remedy for that is you just never come off. I'm just kidding. David is about to step away from the phone now.
I think coming off of them is something that needs to be treated. So anyway, go ahead.
No, but I think this is intriguing. I think people need to think about this when you start experimenting. And I want to hear from people in the audience. If you use Pharmanac, I want to hear from you about two things. Do you notice the increases in energy output? It takes longer for you to get fatigued? But more importantly, I want to know if you notice an increase in initial fast twitch power output as well because of the effects on the sodium potassium pump.
Mm-hmm.
Look, no one's going to do a study on this because science doesn't care about strength. Unfortunately, they will care about it in about a decade when they realize that the stronger a person is, that's an example of the strength of the organism, hence longevity. We're already seeing science proving that stronger individuals live longer. But no one's going to do the research right now, so we have to look for anecdotal information from the people out there who are experimenting with these types of amino acids. Do you notice an increase in acute strength as well as the staving
as
off
endurance.
Fatigue? Yeah. I predict that there is going to be some results there. I really do.
So in what you've studied, would a person take a mixture of amino acids, or is it cysteine particularly?
Well, and I think that personally, and I haven't put a lot of thought into this, so I'm really, really spitballing here. But I think that a combination of N-acetylcysteine with a small dose of calcium, okay, because calcium, potassium, and sodium, they have a relationship to increase in contractile force. So while N-acetylcysteine can attenuate the degradation of potassium and sodium, you still need the calcium channel to be activated as well. So I would take it actually with calcium. And then if you're taking creatine already, I would continue to take my creatine so that you recycle ATP faster. But I would just take the N-acetylcysteine with maybe 300 milligrams of calcium pre-workout. Not much more than 300 milligrams, quite frankly. Mm-hmm. Maybe even less. And maybe get your calcium in a whole food source. Maybe if you're using a milk drink pre-workout, you know?
Right. And I think if you took a few Pharmanac tablets before, you know, an hour before, that would be, you just have to make sure you take enough. I mean, the problem with a lot of studies is that they just haven't tested NAC at high enough doses to matter, and so they concluded it didn't matter. Well, the point is that low doses don't matter, but high doses do.
And so how many milligrams is in a tablet? 900, right?
900, yeah.
So somebody would take two in order to get into that close to 2 gram threshold.
Yeah, they get close to the 2 gram at two, and you know, I mean, if you're really performance oriented and you can afford it, then I think it's best to try for three or four, because you really want to validate it psychologically to yourself. Like, you don't want to think, well, I don't know if it really was good, but I kind of didn't do enough. So like, what does that prove to you? You know, like nothing. So I think it's probably best if you're going to try the product to try it at a high dose of three or four tablets an hour before, and then see how it affects your performance.
And then the second time, try those three or four
you
tablets.
Can try dosing it down after that. But
No. But what I would say with the second, if you do notice something, then the second time around, try the three or four tablets, but add about 250 milligrams of calcium, with your dose 1 hour before.
Yeah, so that's a cool idea. Yeah.
This is really great stuff. Listen, David, I really want to thank you. I know that, supporting this show is not necessarily first on the list of BioAdvantex, and that's why I want the listeners to know that this is a great product. It comes from a reputable company. It is what it says it is, and it's in the best form that it can possibly be. And I'd like people to give it a try. That's all I can ask for.
Well, amen. Thank you very much, Carl.
Thank you.
I think your show should be, you know, everyone should listen to it. It's just an amazing source of awesome information that America needs.
Thank you. And have a happy holiday, okay?
Okay, thanks.
Okay. All right, so stay tuned. When we come back, we will be joined by Adele Musso, all the way from Munster, Germany. You're listening to Superhuman Radio. We'll be right back.
Brothers know his name.
DJ Yoda.
Mad brothers know his name.
DJ Yoda.
Mad brothers know his name.
DJ Yoda. Sing.
Mad brothers know his name.
Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right. Buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household.
You train hard. You push the limits of your body every day, and sometime pain pushes back. Now silence your pain with Phoenix Kinetocream. Kinetocream is made using a perfect blend of natural ingredients and reduces inflammation and shuts down pain with its very first use. Listen to what one user said about Phoenix Kinetocream.
Training made me ache. My back, my shoulders, even my elbows. I rub Kinetocream on my shoulders, and in minutes, I could feel the pain go away. Not covered up by that freezing feeling like other creams. The pain was gone.
You can learn more about Kinetocream by visiting PhoenixBioPerformance.com. Don't let pain slow you down. Rise above the ashes with Phoenix Kinetocream. That's PhoenixBioPerformance.com. Superhuman Radio has the smartest and most dedicated health and fitness listeners found anywhere in the world. If you're trying to tap this market of greater than 50 million health fitness consumers, you simply can't do better than advertising on Superhuman Radio. Our sponsors tell us Superhuman Radio outperforms other forms of advertising time and time again. If you're tired of wasting valuable advertising dollars and need a new way to build your client base, go to superhumanradio.com and click on the Advertise with Us link. It just may be the best thing you have ever done for your business. People who are looking for performance and health benefits turn to WayNaturalUSA.com. WayNaturalUSA produces the only whey protein from Amish grass-fed cows raised right here in the USA. You cannot get the same quality whey protein anywhere else, period. WayNaturalUSA is cold-processed through the patented Chill-Rite process, so all of the undenatured fractions of whey stay intact. There's only three ingredients in WayNaturalUSA: grass-fed whey protein concentrate, organic flavor, and stevia. Nothing else. Go to WayNaturalUSA.com today and find out what you've been missing. WHEYNaturalUSA.com. True Protein is now TrueNutrition.com. The company that gave you personalized protein blends has now expanded their offerings to include over 5,000 new products. Whether your interests are health and fitness, sports nutrition and supplements, or fitness gear and accessories, you'll find what you're looking for at TrueNutrition.com. Check out the new vegetarian and vegan product lines as well. Oh, and don't worry, you can still blend your own personal protein supplements with a full range of milk, whey, casein, beef, egg, rice, and soy proteins. Check out TrueNutrition.com today.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finer supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
This is the Superhuman Channel, where brawn and brains finally meet.
Внимание, дамы и господа! Через несколько секунд выйдут на сцену Шпуля Медиа. Новонервных беременных и детей просим удалиться из зала. Остальным лечь на пол и задержать дыхание!
That music can only mean one thing. We are joined all the way from Munster, Germany by the brilliant Adele Moussa for the Subversity Science Roundup. How are you, Adele?
I'm doing fine. And I hope people are now able to hear my voice more clearly than before, because this is actually the first show we are trying to do via Skype.
Yeah, no, and it definitely sounds better. There's no doubt about it. So there you go.
Okay.
It was a good deal to do this. Okay, so we have lots of great things to talk about. The first, which is something I personally have a lot of interest in learning more about, and that is, you know, even yesterday, the cardiologist I had on the show who was talking about excessive endurance training and the damaging effects on the heart, you know, he injected during the conversation about the benefits of caffeine. Well, we're learning that caffeine is good for the brain. And quite often these things that we claim are good for us may be good for one thing, but not good for other things. Can you talk about the recent research on methylxanthines and especially, you know, caffeine and I guess theobromine is found in cocoa, right?
Yeah.
So what's the news?
That's right. Well, interestingly, first of all, it's always good to know that caffeine is a methylxanthine, because sometimes you find it on supplements only by this name, or that the specific supplement contain methylxanthines, and usually this is nothing but caffeine. But I suppose that the producers think that this does sound way more sophisticated, and people are more prone to buy it than if they just list caffeine on the ingredient list.
Right.
But back to the original study, which has just been published in PLOS One, it investigated the effects of these three methylxanthines on and their ability to interact with DNA molecules. And what the scientists found was that all three of them were able to bind to the DNA molecules at different rates. And if you hear that, this obviously sounds as if it could be dangerous, because we always want to protect our DNA from damage.
Right.
But we do already know from previous studies that theobromine, which is the one that's found in cacao, actually enhances anti-tumor activity, and also with caffeine together, they both make tumors more susceptible to chemotherapy. So you could argue that maybe this is a good thing if you are injecting it in a tumor. But as it turns out, these complexes they form with the DNA are actually protective. So the scientists formulate this as one of their bottom line messages to the study. That it turns out that their results really suggest that the caffeine and theobromine would be very promising agents in order to protect the DNA from damage. And they have already been shown to do that with some potentially tumor-producing agents like paint, like a certain paint with bromide in it, where they actually were able to suppress the usually observed increase in tumor proliferation. So we do already know from rodent studies, at least, that it appears to work. What the scientists are not yet really sure about, though, is in how much or where the actual differences between these different methylxanthines is. Because structurally, especially caffeine, is slightly different. This may now sound as if it may not be as good, but in a way, it could have a very synergistic effect, because it is the only one of the three which inhibits the splicing of the RNA, and that is also part of cancer development. So it's not said or not yet really elucidated whether you need all of them or whether a specific form is more beneficial in a certain type of disease. But in general, it's actually turning out that those methylxanthines from cacao, tea, and also from coffee, of course, have a DNA protective effect and could protect from all sorts of degenerative diseases which are related to changes in the DNA.
Is there ever an instance where we want DNA to undergo a change, or do we always want DNA to be static, exactly as it is from one replication to another?
Well, actually, it should be static. On the other hand, as we know by now, DNA, or the stable DNA, we've always thought that it would really determine our genetics, is only one part of it. You can have a certain gene and have it switched on or off. So this is really where we wanted to make changes. But to the basic formation, to the basic genes, whenever you change them, or when your body accidentally changes them, or in response to being exposed to toxic substances, it is always a risk of, you are always at risk of developing cancer.
Yeah. I continue to use caffeine in very small doses now. I get my caffeine from green tea. So
yeah.
Do we know, I mean, that is there a threshold or is there a point of diminishing returns? So many people abuse caffeine, consuming maybe close to 800 milligrams a day across the day. And we've all also talked about that being a more appropriate way than having, you know, three big cups of coffee in the morning and nothing the rest of the day, at least from the rodent studies that you've discussed in the past.
Yeah.
Do you think that the prophylactic effects of caffeine can be enjoyed with low doses of caffeine, 18, 20, 30 milligrams a day? Or do we have to get into those higher doses that seem to be the more popular doses that are delivered today?
I suppose that very little caffeine will actually be enough to do the magic, because it just has to float by, so to say, in order to induce binding. Of course, your chances of of it to bind to the DNA is higher if you increase the dosage and also have a higher amount of caffeine floating in the system. But I posted in the seconds to the last episode an interesting rodent study on the beneficial metabolic effects of caffeine. And if this is not a typo in the original paper, they actually administered rodents only once weekly a dosage of roughly, on human equivalence, roughly 200 milligrams of caffeine, which is about a large cup of coffee or two smaller cups of coffee. And that was enough to ameliorate the diet-induced weight gain on one of these hypercaloric, high-fat diets.
Wow. Wow.
And I was really astonished because you usually assume that this is a reaction that will only occur if you consume a very high dose of caffeine, so at least 200 milligrams, and do that every day. But in this particular case, and obviously only in a rodent study, it was sufficient to do that once a week.
Now, I apologize if you did address this in the onset of this discussion, but is there a period of, does caffeine have a great affinity to binding, or is it just a transient affinity? Once it binds, does it stay there?
I think that, this is not really elucidated, but it's interesting that it's also depending on temperature and on the pH level. So
wait. pH level of the environment or of the
the environment? Yeah.
So do people who have a highly acidic environment benefit less from the binding than people who have a more base environment?
Yeah, I suppose so. Yeah.
Oh.
And
okay.
In fact, there are also studies suggesting that being on the more acidic side of pH is one of the factors that favors the development of cancer.
And I know. Maybe it just I saw that research recently, and I thought, yeah, and I actually saw a few different studies that showed that that the acidic side is healthier for a couple different reasons, which flies in the face of what we've been talking about for the past 8 years on the show. That we've had people come on and say, oh, you know, you don't want to be acidic. Especially if you're eating a high protein diet, you want to be more alkaline for health, but it's not playing out that way, is it?
Oh yes, it is. I actually just was saying that it's still that being on the acidic side of things is rather tumor promoting.
Oh, okay.
But interestingly enough, this is not so much an issue of eating of the amount of protein you eat, because there are many more pro acidic foods in our diets than just the protein. And what's also something most people don't realize is that citrates, which are actually acidic, if you mix them with bicarbonate, for example, you get this fizzing reaction, because one is acidic and the other is alkaline. But once they are in the body, they are actually converted to bicarbonate by the kidneys, I believe, and will thus actually help you alkalize your body.
Really?
So I think that one of the advantages, for example, of magnesium citrate over all other forms, even the most expensive ones, is that it has citric acid, which is an additional alkalizing agent.
Interesting. And you can buy calcium in a citrate form as well, that's amazing.
That's also, by the way, one of the forms. I haven't seen a review of that, but whenever you see that calcium supplementation does anything good, it's never calcium carbonate, but it's almost always calcium citrate.
Wow, that's interesting, because calcium carbonate is probably the one that is most often found in multiple vitamins that are sold at the grocery store level.
Yeah. And another thing about the calcium carbonate is that it's really hard to digest. So this is also often the reason that people get constipated when they take calcium supplements. Mm. It's rather the specific carbonate form, while the citrate form has some similarity to magnesium citrate, which is
loosening. It's loosening effect.
Yeah, no, it's loosening the stool. And calcium is not as bad, But it's basically the citrate which has this effect. Therefore, other forms of magnesium don't really loosen the stool as much, although magnesium oxide in very high doses does as well.
Yeah. Okay, we have to take our first commercial break. We've got lots more to discuss. Great stuff going on here today. And we can hear Adele so much better. This is wonderful. We're talking with Adele Moussa. This is the Subversity Science Roundup on Superhuman Radio. Stay tuned. We'll be right back with more.
My name is V to the Izzy. My name is H to the Izzo. That's the end. Get your hands up.
Be dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high-protein, low-carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high-quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right. Buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household.
It's estimated that the majority of multivitamins simply get flushed down the toilet due to poor digestibility. Well, that's all changed thanks to Age Force. Now you can get 16 of the most important essential vitamins combined with 6 of the most effective antioxidants directly into your bloodstream with the new Age Force 8-hour delivery multivitamin patch. And for a limited time, get a buy one, get one free on this groundbreaking new patch. This patch is sure to change the way people take their vitamins. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Age Force multivitamin patch banner ad today. For the first time ever, Need to Build Muscle has introduced a fat burner that is so sophisticated, you'll realize why it took them so long to bring one to market. IntuBurn is here. Through multiple pathways and agents, IntuBurn increases thermogenesis, turns on brown adipose tissue to consume even more energy, modulates blood sugar, while insulin-mimicking agents keep insulin from spiking, stimulates beta-adrenergic activity. Heck, even the coating on the tablet contains cinnamaldehyde, a potent appetite suppressant and insulin regulator. While other fat burners focus on one or two of these pathways, IntuBurn does it all. Go to NeedToBuildMuscle.com today and start shedding fat now. You train hard. You push the limits of your body every day, and sometimes pain pushes back. Now silence your pain with Phoenix Kinetocream. Kinetocream is made using a perfect blend of natural ingredients and reduces inflammation and shuts down pain with its very first use. Listen to what one user said about Phoenix Kinetocream.
Training made me ache. My back, my shoulders, even my elbows. I rub Kinetic Cream on my shoulders, and in minutes, I could feel the pain go away. Not covered up by that freezing feeling like other creams. The pain was gone.
You can learn more about Kinetic Cream by visiting PhoenixBioPerformance.com. Don't let pain slow you down. Rise above the ashes with Phoenix Kinetic Cream. That's PhoenixBioPerformance.com. People who are looking for performance and health benefits turn to WhayNaturalUSA.com. WhayNaturalUSA produces the only whey protein from Amish grass-fed cows raised right here in the USA. You cannot get the same quality whey protein anywhere else, period. WhayNaturalUSA is cold-processed through the patented Chill-Rite process, so all of the undenatured fractions of whey stay intact. There's only 3 ingredients in WhayNaturalUSA: grass-fed whey protein concentrate, organic flavor, and stevia. Nothing else. Go to WhayNaturalUSA.com today and find out what you've been missing. WhayNaturalUSA.com.
Get strong. Feel younger. It's Superhuman Radio.
Rhythm is a dancer. It's a soul's companion. People feel it everywhere. Lift your hands and voices. Free your mind and join us.
Welcome back to the Subversity Science Roundup with Adele Moussa. If you have never visited Subversity.com, you're missing out in an opportunity to get some of the most current, most insightful, well-written articles about supplementation, health, training, and everything else that goes on in the world of physical culture and nutrition. Subversity.com, SUPPVERSITY.com. All authored by the brilliant Adele Musa. Okay, Adele, we're going to stay with caffeine for a little while longer. I think, if I remember correctly, wait a minute, I do remember because I'm using caffeine today.
Yeah, that's right on spot, because we all know from previous epidemiological studies that caffeine can also help remain sharp, so to say, and to avoid memory impairment. And scientists from the Laboratory of Studies on the Purinergic System in Porto in Brazil, they have now conducted a pretty interesting study in a rodent model of what is called sporadic Alzheimer's. And the interesting thing about this pathology is, or about this model, is that it is induced the exact same way as researchers induced type 2 diabetes by injecting a drug that's called streptocytosin, I think. it basically will induce diabetes within 1 week in rodents, and at the same time it also appears to trigger those memory deficits. So in essence, this does already tell us that Alzheimer's or dementia in general is also, as you've pointed out in previous shows, could also be called diabetes type 3. So it's the diabetes of the brain. And interestingly enough, the administration of the equivalent of 200 milligrams per day did actually have the rodents go through the injection process without any of the neurodegeneration effects and the memory impairment that is usually brought about by this treatment. So basically it seems that there is a real direct protective effect of caffeine which takes place via its effects on the adenosine receptors in the brain.
Now, it's interesting because to add to this discussion, we did a show this week, we talked about the discovery that the brain produces its own insulin. And I don't know if you had a chance to hear that, but I developed the supposition that this insulin produced in the brain is for better just-in-time blood sugar management when the brain needs more, it demands more energy, instead of waiting for the pancreas, which would be very slow to respond. The brain can produce its own insulin to shuttle more glucose into the working nerve cells. And so we know that, that dopamine plays a role in some of this transaction as well. And obviously these methylxanthines like caffeine and so on, they produce dopamine in response to their consumption, do they not?
Usually they do, yeah, in relatively high doses, yeah. I don't know if this applies in this particular study because the rodents consumed the caffeine as part of their regular drinking water, so the overall concentration was not so high that you will really see a major increase in dopamine. But on the other hand, it is certainly a factor that it prevented diabetes. On the other hand, if it's able to keep the brain insulin sensitive and has the brain produce its own insulin,
right?
Then insulin in and out of itself has, as of last week, been shown to actually have an a protective effect against Alzheimer's.
Right.
So it does so by not only by helping to get the glucose into the cells and thus enable the brain to be fueled appropriately, but also because it will induce a certain protein or enzyme rather that breaks down the plaque in the brain. And without insulin or normal insulin signaling in the brain, this particular enzyme isn't produced, And also another factor is when there is insufficient insulin or it does not work because of insulin intolerance, then the production of the quote-unquote dead amyloid peptides, which really are responsible for the plaque building up in the brain, is augmented, while the other side of the chain is depressed. So this is, again, one of the complex mechanisms of living organisms that really make things complicated to look at in isolation.
You know, the term sporadic Alzheimer's disease is laughable to me. It's almost like saying sporadic engine breakdown when you run out of gas.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like if someone has sporadic Alzheimer's, they don't have Alzheimer's. They have some sort of metabolic derangement in the brain that's starving the brain for what it needs in order to process the energy and memory. And one of the things I said on the show where we were talking about the brain producing its own insulin, I said it's for this just-in-time management, is that when insulin resistance occurs, that just like an engine, you have an increase in friction in an engine when the fuel starts to lean out and the engine runs very hot. And I said, and perhaps the neurons in the brain, they respond to an inflammatory response because they are trying to work without the adequate fuel. And the byproduct is this plaque, that we talk about so readily as being the cause of Alzheimer's. And in fact, it's just metabolic waste that's building up because the brain is not operating efficiently.
In the end, it's always, like a broken machine.
Yeah.
And, the reasons are always the same. It's actually still diet and lack of exercise. Because exercise in and out of itself will reinduce or will reestablish the insulin release within the brain and also the overall insulin tolerance by its effects on glucose metabolism. And to expand on that, a couple of months ago, scientists realized that intranasally applied insulin has actually very beneficial effects both on the brain as well as on overall metabolism.
Really?
Because it appears that it also can reintroduce appropriate leptin sensing at the level of the brain. Administered intranasally, it will really get into the brain while when you inject it, like the regular diabetic usually does, you have a very low amount only being able to penetrate the blood-brain barrier.
Interesting. Now, let's shift the discussion. Let's stay with these neurological disorders of the brain. And now let's inject, no pun intended, the discussion about conjugated linoleic acid. There seems to be some research out there that shows that CLA may be beneficial to those individuals with these type of neurological disorders.
Yeah, that's pretty interesting, I find, at least, because we usually think about CLA in the context of losing weight, and we also think about it in the context of very impressive rodent data and a lack of response in many
human
studies. If we look at the most recent study that has been done on the effects of conjugated linoleic acid, unfortunately, in this case, this is a first investigation and was done in a cell line, but it really showed that by inhibiting a certain protein, which has been shown to actually induce the accumulation of the plaque, CLA directly inhibits the formation of the Alzheimer plaque, and it also, in addition to that, increases the levels of a certain protein which actually is able to reduce the plaque once it has been formed.
Hmm.
Because in the end, our bodies are accustomed and designed to cope with this certain amount of plaque that will build up in the brain. And it can be broken down. And I've mentioned before that insulin is one of the factors that is really necessary to make that happen. On the other hand, we do now know that another factor which can help in doing that is CLA. And if you think about the studies, and one of the reasons that most studies fail in human beings is actually that they don't dare to administer it in the equivalent doses that are administered to rodents, because it has been shown that it does in fact increase insulin production.
Right.
And this has been suggested to be problematic as in terms of inducing insulin resistance. But as it turns out, in most of the studies where rodents, for example, had increased insulin levels, they still had absolutely normal glucose clearance.
Really?
Yeah. So it may be that insulin rises, and you could also, of course, argue that when insulin rises and you still have normal glucose clearance, then the next step, insulin rises more, and within weeks or month or so, you are totally insulin resistant. But this is actually not really sure. While it has been established that the supplementation with large amounts of the fat burning form, which is the 10T12C CLA isomer,
okay,
does in fact favor the increase of lipid deposition in the liver. And when that happens, you become insulin resistant. Mm. On the other hand, I've had a very interesting study on the subversity two or three weeks that showed that the co-administration of fish oil inhibits the lipid buildup in the liver,
uh-huh,
and does not affect the beneficial effect of CLA on body fat levels. So I already speculated in the bottom line to that post that maybe we are now going to see higher doses of CLA being administered to human beings in conjunction with DHA or fish oil in general, because this really appears to be a perfect match, as the one ameliorates a negative effect on the liver and has very beneficial effects on the liver, which is actually the main working area of fish oil, and also part of its ability to reduce triglycerides and to increase insulin sensitivity is also taking place at the level of the liver. And if they are administered together, this could really be a future obesity treatment, and as we are seeing now, also something to prevent Alzheimer's.
Well, what I find intriguing about this is if we look at naturally occurring fats in nature, they quite often occur in foods in complementary amounts, and
yeah,
we know that fish oil or omega-3 fatty acids can mitigate the pro-inflammatory effects of saturated fats. And in nature, you usually find these fats, especially in animals raised naturally, like grass-fed beef and so on, we usually find these fats living side by side within the flesh that we're eating. So it makes perfect sense to me that the introduction of these omega-3s in combination with CLA, which, by the way, if you look at, I mean, you sent me some fantastic dairy studies that show that grass-fed cows that produce milk have not only higher CLA, but higher omega-3s than conventionally raised dairy cows. And so once again, we see in nature, when nature has a hand in playing out the way nature intends it, we see these fats side by side. And this is probably why they didn't cause the problems that we see when they isolate a particular fat and give it to rodents in a high dose, go, oh, well, this is what causes diabetes. No, if it's side by side with the fats that were supposed to be joining it in that meal, they seem to have a complementary effect.
Yeah, that's right. And interestingly, you can also look at the ratios they are occurring, for example, in grass-fed, in milk from grass-fed cows or meat from grass-fed cows or beef. The CLA content usually is much lower than the omega-3 content, at least in the grass-fed variety.
Right.
And this is also what the scientists had in their study. In my mind, they administered way too much. omega-3 fatty acids. And in the end, they also said that it would have, it would be probable, that a 10-to-1 ratio or so, which comes pretty much close to what you would see in terms of, if you count all omega-3s, not just EPA and DHA in milk, or in beef, in the natural source.
Right.
So, maybe we should really reconsider looking at which things occur in which ratios in really natural foods or,
right. In pristinely natural foods and foods in their original, formats that we saw before animal husbandry and chow feeds became introduced to these animals.
Yeah. And CLA, by the way, is an omega-6 fatty acid. And what is particularly interesting is, that CLA at the level of the brain also, decreases the formation of the of a molecule that's usually called just by the abbreviation 2AG, which is a byproduct of the metabolism of omega-6 fatty acids into endocannabinoids.
Oh, really?
And this is another effect of CLA, and therefore, I've always been very skeptical about its weight loss effect, and as of now, there is really no good evidence that it really does work in human beings. Being said that it was hitherto only administered in relatively low doses, but for those effects on the neurons, there appears to be a much lower threshold level to achieve some benefits. Than for the anti-obesity effects, which can, in fact, become so prevalent that it's really like all the adipose tissue is dying or starving. And this is a finding from an older rodent study where they basically got the rodents so lean that it was really pathological by feeding them CLA in very high amounts.
Well,
and scientists are now using it also. I mean, it's called conjugated linoleic acid, so you already know that it's conjugated to something. On the other hand, it has also the ability to bind to a well-known cancer drug, which is paclitaxel or Taxol. That's at least the paclitaxel, I think.
Okay.
That's the brand name, so to say, or I think it's the active name, and the drug is just Taxol, I think. And they bound this to CLA and found that contrary to the drug alone, you could administer that at very reduced doses and achieve a much better effect in killing brain tumors than with the regular Taxol. Now I have it. The regular brand name is Taxol.
Okay.
With the regular anti-cancer drug. So we see really exciting things about CLA and as of late, and I think that it has hitherto been overlooked, and maybe we are even seeing other fatty acids we have not even thought about before occurring on the screen. For example, scientists are just jumping back on the sesamine bandwagon,
yeah, I know.
trying to elucidate what this can do.
Yeah, and it was back in the days of Mind and Muscle and Avent Labs forum that people were talking about that. One clarification I want to make sure I understood correctly before we go to the break. So, the administration of CLA mitigates the supposed conversion to arachidonic acid, which then affects the endocannabinoid receptor, which was the complaint of Dr. Joseph Hamblin, and when he said people should avoid omega-6 fatty acids.
Yeah, in essence, it does so, at least at the level of the brain, yeah.
Okay. That's an important fact. Once again, it just shows that these fats are designed to occur in combinations. Oh my goodness. Nature was smarter than man. Could it be? Could it be, Adele? I don't know. All right. Listen, let's take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we're going to pick up the discussion. We're talking with Adele Moussa. His blog is subversity.com. Go there, amaze your friends, show your mom how smart you've become. Check it out. We'll be right back.
Already know about Titan Organics virgin coconut oil and that Carl says it's the best in the world. Titan has raw organic honey from the Brazilian rainforest produced under sustainable and environmentally conscious conditions. It's a creamy, non-filtered, rare honey. Or check out their 100% organic raw agave nectar from the lush, pristine farms in Tequila, Mexico. A naturally low glycemic sweetener. You can trust Titan Organics to provide the best raw products found anywhere. Go to superhumanradio.com and save 15% off any purchase when you use the coupon code TITAN15. That's TITAN15. Superhuman Radio has the smartest and most dedicated health and fitness listeners found anywhere in the world. If you're trying to tap this market of greater than 50 million health fitness consumers, you simply can't do better than advertising on Superhuman Radio. Our sponsors tell us Superhuman Radio outperforms other forms of advertising time and time again. If you're tired of wasting valuable advertising dollars and need a new way to build your client base, go to superhumanradio.com and click on the Advertise with Us link. It just may be the best thing you have ever done for your business. BioAdvantex Pharmaceuticals produces the highest quality pharmaceutical grade in acetylcysteine in an advanced effervescent delivery system. NAC has been clinically shown to improve performance, reduce fatigue, and increase power output. NAC is ideal for the high-intensity interval training athlete as it is shown to reduce respiratory fatigue. BioAdvantex PharmaNac has the highest bioavailability of any supplement in its class. Buy one, get one free of PharmaNac when you use the coupon code SHR. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the PharmaNac banner. Ad. PharmaNac, there's nothing else like it. If you want to outlast, outmuscle, and outperform your competition with a high-powered, stimulant-free carbohydrate source that has zero sugars, you want Carbolin. Carbolin is the original high-performance fuel that will allow you to load your muscles with glycogen in minutes instead of hours. As a pre, intra, and post-training supplement, it will give you a hardness and fullness to your muscles like you've never felt before. As an endurance supplement, Carbolin has been proven to increase VO2 max by 2.8%. If you want fast absorption and sustained energy without bloating or cramping, get Carbolin. Go to AAEFX.com today.
No other peptide supplier has a more complete offering than Southern Research Companies. And no other peptide supplier can boast that all their research peptides are manufactured inside the United States in Tier 1 labs. Whether you're looking for IGF-1 Long R3, GHRP6, GHRP2, Melanotan 2, Mechano Growth Factor, or PT-141, or hard-to-find peptides like Triptorelin or Follistatin, you'll find them at Southern Research Companies. Free shipping on orders over $150. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Southern Research banner ad today and do business with the most trusted name in research peptides, Southern Research Companies.
Calling all men. The Men's Stack is here from Muscle Gauge Nutrition. The Men's Stack will give you the energy you need to train harder and the materials you need to build new muscle. The Men's Stack includes American Protein Isolate, Stimulant-Free Pre-Workout Alpha Rage, Muscle Pump Activator, L-Arginine, AKG, and Multivitamin Plus Minerals specifically formulated for men. Now, Superhuman Radio listeners can get this Men's Stack for just $99 and free shipping while supplies last. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Muscle Gauge banner ad today.
Jumping higher, lifting more. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. Okay. Gum arabic is used as a thickening agent in a variety of different food products. So what is the research on gum arabic, Adele?
Well, interestingly, it is actually a sort of a fiber product, and people will probably know it from the ingredient list of, especially of some of those foods which have been reduced in fat and are actually not on the of this you should eat stuff every day list, or at least not on mine.
Right.
But interestingly enough, this gum does not only induce a certain mouthfeel when it's administered or it's added in the right dosages to foodstuff, but it also has been now been a pretty anti-obesity effects in otherwise completely healthy female subjects. So the scientists from the University of Medical Sciences and Technology in Sudan, interestingly, they did a trial which involved 120 healthy women, and 60 of them did actually receive a 30-gram dose of this gum arabicum every day. And while in the first week, some of them reported having having problems with their digestive tract, so they felt bloated or nauseated after eating, and this is particularly in people who are usually not eating high fibrous foods often get these problems in the first weeks. But that subsided, and as the study went on for a total of, don't let me lie, I just have to check, I think it were 6 weeks.
Right.
They really found that there was a very profound effect on BMI, and even more so on body fat percentage, which did actually reduce by 2.18%. And this is a pretty significant reduction, because when you think about it, this could be about 10% if the women, the healthy women, had, for example, 20% body fat only to start with. It's more likely they were 25% or so. But still, by doing nothing but adding those 30 grams of gum arabicum for 6 weeks, inducing such a profound effect is impressive.
You know, I know I threw you a curveball here. I apologize. I didn't look down at the notes, and you really wanted to stay on. You had a couple of the supplements you wanted to talk about related to Alzheimer's disease.
Yeah.
Do you want to move back to that, or do you want to move on to...
Let's do that. Let's go back to this and get back to the Arabicum study and maybe its implications also in terms of the upcoming holidays later.
Okay.
towards the end of the show.
Please.
Because it's I think that it's really important that there is not just CLA but many other things. I believe that people that are listeners of the show may already be taking that actually may be able to prevent not just Alzheimer's, but also other diseases which are amyloid-related, so related to the same peptides that build up in or the same class of peptides, so to say, that build up in the brain. Among them is Huntington's disease, and interestingly enough, it's also type 2 diabetes. And guess what happens in type 2 diabetes in the islets of the pancreas?
Okay.
Build up of the same plaque. So
that's amazing.
Also of amyloid plaque, and this is another connection between diabetes type 2 and diabetes type 3, which is quite interesting. And if we look at the supplement list, which includes green tea, curcumin, resveratrol, hypericin. Okay, that's the active ingredient or one of the active ingredients in St. John's Wort. This is not really known for being an anti-diabetic. But the last one, ferulic acid, which is actually a certain acid that is, interestingly enough, also very high in coffee. Mm. All of them have also been implicated in as preventive measures or as treatment measures in diabetes. And this also goes back to what we've heard about before, about caffeine's ability to bind to the DNA. Because one of the mechanisms, at least green tea, curcumin, and the hypericin from St. John's Wort have in common, is that they actually form certain bonds with the future plaque. And binding inhibits the actual formation of the final of the end product that really will then hamper the function of the organ.
Hmm.
So wait, I
want to make sure that I understood something. So this plaque that is found in the brain under these pathologies is also found in the pancreas?
It's not the exact same plaque, but it's the same category of plaque, and it's quite obvious that the origin is actually the same.
Hmm. That's amazing.
Yeah, it is. And it's also amazing that all the same subjects are appearing here just once more. Green tea, curcumin, we all know them. Resveratrol, again, the problem is here with the administration form, but in essence, there has just been published another rodent study, unfortunately.
Right.
But the in rodents, the bioavailability of resveratrol is slightly higher than in humans, or it's supposed to be slightly higher than in humans. But this is actually the first study where they did not administer such hilarious amounts that you could not even think about being able to afford that
right.
as a human being.
Right.
So we are really making progress here also because they found ways to formulate certain emulsions and certain bound forms of resveratrol which have a higher bioavailability. And as far as the ferulic acid is concerned, this is actually something that is pretty common in all sorts of those good foods. It's also in apples, it's in artichokes,
right.
it's in peanuts, in orange. They are in the cell walls of all sorts of plant material you eat. Interestingly, even rice, wheat, and oats do have them, at least if you are eating the whole grain variety. Where a little of the bran is left intact because they are always in the ferulic acid is always in the external part of those nuts and seeds and grain products. So it's not really unlikely that by following a general healthy diet, quote unquote, but you already get a pretty high amount of ferulic acid. And you could also, of course, use turmeric as part of your diet. Don't really necessarily have to supplement with curcumin, although it is curcumin has some of the issues that resveratrol has as far as bioavailability is concerned. And I think you did a show on that 2 weeks ago, didn't you?
I think about you know what? I haven't had enough caffeine. I can't remember that far back. I'm having sporadic Alzheimer's right now. It's possible. I don't know. You know what? I do so many shows. It's getting to the point where I can't even recall sometimes what I did 2 weeks ago.
So. I see. Yeah. It's the same for me in terms of
your blog posts. I know. I know.
It's hard for me to check them back or to check all of them. And I, interestingly, I usually use Google to find them back because this works best. I must admit that the archive Blogger uses is not very navigatable, and therefore the subversity is ranked pretty high, at least if you include the term subversity and whatever you are thinking about. The article may have concerned you, usually get a hit at in the Google ranking right away. So this is natural that you forget
right.
about things.
What I'd like to do, with your permission, Adele, is I'd like to go ahead and take one more break and then go long, because I do want to talk about the effects of circuit training on older obese women, because I think it's an important discussion, especially for a lot of women who are going to be making decisions about losing weight for the new year. You're listening to the brilliant Adele Moussa. You can also see his words in print by going to Supversity, SUPPVERSITY.com. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. We've got some really good information for those women out there who are trying to make a decision on how they want to train. You've made the decision to train, and now you're looking for some answers on the most efficient way to get the job done, and Adele has some insights. Stay tuned.
Avoid protein bars because they're generally just candy in disguise. But that's all changed now. With Quest protein bars, we can enjoy dessert again without the guilt. With 20 grams of whey isolate protein, tons of prebiotic fiber, no sugar added, and only 2 to 6 grams of active carbohydrates per bar, Quest bars will keep you full and lean. I've never endorsed a protein bar before because I simply didn't trust them. That's all changed with the Quest bar. Not just because of what's in them, but more so for what's not. Go to superhumanradio.com today and click the Quest protein bar banner ad. Start enjoying dessert again.
Superhuman Radio has the smartest and most dedicated health and fitness listeners found anywhere in the world. If you're trying to tap this market of greater than 50 million health fitness consumers, you simply can't do better than advertising on Superhuman Radio. Our sponsors tell us Superhuman Radio outperforms other forms of advertising time and time again. If you're tired of wasting valuable advertising dollars and need a new way to build your client base, go to superhumanradio.com and click on the Advertise with Us link. It just may be the best thing you have ever done for your business. People who are looking for performance and health benefits turn to WayNaturalUSA.com. WayNaturalUSA produces the only whey protein from Amish grass-fed cows raised right here in the USA. You cannot get the same quality whey protein anywhere else, period. WayNaturalUSA is cold-processed through the patented Chill-Rite process, so all of the undenatured fractions of whey stay intact. There's only three ingredients in WayNaturalUSA: grass-fed whey protein concentrate, organic flavor, and stevia. Nothing else. Go to WayNaturalUSA.com today and find out what you've been missing. WHEYNaturalUSA.com. It's estimated that the majority of multivitamins simply get flushed down the toilet due to poor digestibility. Well, that's all changed thanks to AgeForce. Now you can get 16 of the most important essential vitamins combined with 6 of the most effective antioxidants directly into your bloodstream with the new AgeForce 8-hour delivery multivitamin patch. And for a limited time, get a buy one, get one free on this groundbreaking new patch. This patch is sure to change the way people take their vitamins. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the AgeForce multivitamin patch banner ad today. People who are looking for performance and health benefits turn to WayNaturalUSA.com. WayNaturalUSA produces the only whey protein from Amish grass-fed cows raised right here in the USA. You cannot get the same quality whey protein anywhere else, period. WayNaturalUSA is cold-processed through the patented Chill-Rite process, so all of the undenatured fractions of whey stay intact. There's only three ingredients in WayNaturalUSA: grass-fed whey protein concentrate, organic flavor, and stevia. Nothing else. Go to WayNaturalUSA.com today and find out what you've been missing. WHEYNaturalUSA.com. For the first time ever, Need to Build Muscle has introduced a fat burner that is so sophisticated, you'll realize why it took them so long to bring one to market. IntuBurn is here. Through multiple pathways and agents, IntuBurn increases thermogenesis, turns on brown adipose tissue to consume even more energy, modulates blood sugar, while insulin-mimicking agents keep insulin from spiking, stimulates beta-adrenergic activity. Heck, even the coating on the tablet contains cinnamaldehyde, a potent appetite suppressant and insulin regulator. While other fat burners focus on one or two of these pathways, IntuBurn does it all. Go to NeedToBuildMuscle.com today and start shedding fat now.
Your radio just got ripped. It's Superhuman Radio.
S-T-E-D-C-E-D.
Внимание, дамы и господа, через несколько секунд выйдут на сцену Шпулемете. Слабонервных, беременных и детей просим удалиться из зала. Остальным лечь на пол и задержать дыхание!
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. This is the Subversity Science Roundup. Do you know what they're saying, Adele? Can you translate this? No? Adele, did I lose you? Hello?
Wait, okay.
Okay, you're there. Were you able to understand that, or you couldn't hear it?
I could hear it. And in fact, they were talking about going to the club and enjoying the sight of a beautiful woman.
Ah.
So,
Adele, do you go out and dance once in a while?
Yeah, I do.
Oh,
and
man.
And actually, not exactly my favorite song, but the artists are pretty famous here in Germany, and you will also hear this song still at the clubs, although it's already somewhat older.
And is the name of the group Fetus Brot, or is it Seed?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Fetus Brot is like fat bread. Directly translated into English.
Okay. Very cool. Very cool. We are getting a little culture here with Adele Musa, something we didn't bargain for. So Adele, tell me about the research on circuit training in older women who are also obese. It looks like it's promising, huh?
Yeah, it is. And there are quite a few interesting points here, because first of all, I want to mention that they train for 50 minutes three times a week for 12 weeks.
That's nothing. 15, 1-5?
Yeah, 50 minutes.
Oh, God.
50, so 5-0.
Oh, 5-0. Okay.
Interestingly, the circuit training they did was what people usually or often refer to as a slow burn, with very very long contraction and eccentric times of 5 seconds. So this was not really the fast-paced circuit training you will usually see, but rather circuit training which did actually have the heart rate which was controlled by heart rate, and the scientists tried to keep the heart rate at roughly 70% of the maximum throughout the whole workout. So this does already tell you something about the intensity of the workout, and if you look at the outcomes, they were unquestionably beneficial, but on the other hand, closer analysis reveals that the obese women were really the ones who saw significant benefits, while even the overweight ones, the advantage of the overweight ones over the control groups that did not train, did not even really reach a statistical significance. And in the lean women, whom you can expect that they will have had a better basic fitness level, the effects were rather negligible. Mm. And if you look at the lean mass increases, there were none in either the lean or the overweight women. Only the obese women had an increase in lean mass in response to this protocol.
And don't you think it's because they had a greater degree of load bearing because of their own body tissue that they were carrying? I mean, I don't know. To me, it sounds like the heavier people are going to experience the greatest changes simply because, number one, they're uninitiated, number one. But more importantly, everything they do, they're also supporting their own body weight, especially if they're doing, you know, postural movements, you know, squatting or whatever.
Yeah, as an obese woman, you're already training your muscles when you hop from one piece of equipment to the next.
Have you ever looked at? Many years ago, I discovered that unless you drive a standard shift automobile, or you live in Europe, but if you live here in the United States, what you will come to find is that the large majority of the population has a much larger gastroc, right calf muscle, than the left. And I attribute this to the driving of a car, pumping the brake, pumping the gas year after year after year. You'll also find a concomitant difference in the sweep of the left quad versus the right because of lifting yourself out of the car. I coined the term occupational hypertrophy as a result of this. Well, another thing that I've found fascinating is when you see extremely obese people, they have giant calves. Well, of course they do. They're carrying around 150, 200 pounds more than they need to. Their calves respond well to that.
Yeah, it's quite funny. I have a friend, I'm not that familiar with him, so we just know each other. We meet each other on a regular basis in the fitness studio, and he has lost quite an amazing amount of body fat within the last years by just training. And he has been one of those guys, maybe also with gifted genetics, but he has really crazy calves. On the one hand, he has those crazy and also ripped calves, but he unfortunately has some residue of loose skin at the over the in the abdominal area.
Yeah, we all get that.
You really see that he has built tremendous calves in his in his days of being obese, and they really shine now.
Yeah.
On the other hand, there's obviously the downside of not getting rid of this loose skin on the tummy, so to say. when you lose all that fat, it doesn't matter
how long it takes you to lose it. If you spend any significant amount of time with that much body weight, your skin, the collagen breaks down and your skin will never go back to where it was originally. So that's another reason why if you've put on a lot of weight in the past couple of years, you need to get it off, because the longer you wear that weight, the more it damages the skin. What I look at this and I say, okay, the slow burn approach may be a good way for women who are really obese to get started and to become acclimated to training. But it seems like the women who were not obese did not benefit from this at all. And they would benefit from the type of resistance training that we talk about on the show, which is more focused on gaining strength and lean body mass.
Yeah, I think they would. Because if you look at the correlation here, particularly in the lean women, there is a significant correlation between the non-significant loss of body fat and the lack of increase in lean mass. And I have had a study published on or discussed on the Subversity yesterday, which also implied that an increase in protein synthesis in response to meeting your essential amino acid demands by making sure that you get at least 3 square meals with 10 gram plus of essential amino acids will increase the protein synthesis while you diet. And the scientists made an interesting point, or they did one of those calculations I usually don't like, that's the calories in, calories out thing, because it's just way too easy, way too simple and oversimplified to just count what you eat and subtract whatever device is telling you you have just burned at the gym. And in fact, their calculation does actually support the hilariousness of this approach, because it showed that the amount of energy that is needed for the additional protein synthesis is actually can actually explain part of the increased fat loss in the group that received the essential amino acid supplement, right, while the others consumed the exact same amount of protein, but from the non-essential amino acids, and didn't see this particular benefit.
Interesting. So, in summary, if you had to come up with a prescriptive suggestion as a result of looking at this research, would you say that only obese women should pay attention to this type of research, and then eventually, as they become less and less obese, transition away from this type of training?
Yeah, I think this is something people really neglect, that things that have worked once for you magically in terms of training and in terms of diet will change as your body changes. Once you're getting rid of insulin, of being insulin resistant, there is a time when you really have to reintroduce carbohydrates in order to make further progress, or at least you will make better progress, let's say it like this, when you reintroduce them, and you can also avoid problems like what people often refer to as adrenal fatigue, when you have a very low body fat level and pride yourself of having gotten your triglycerides down. What's your body supposed to use if you are only eating fats and the triglyceride level is still rock bottom? What is it supposed to burn?
Right.
Of course, there is always the issue with ketosis, but on the other hand, everyone listens to the advice, consume plenty of protein, which will shut down the ketosis. So you end up without anything for your body to use but protein. And when it starts burning the protein you ingest, it all will also start burning the protein that's already there in the body.
I was just going to say, Stuart, why can't I think of his last name, from McMaster's University, came on the show at one time and talked about fasted training and how it's not really catabolic. But one of the side discussions we had was that when people eat very, very high protein diets, they not only become efficient at assimilating the protein that they're ingesting dietarily, but they become very efficient at assimilating their own protein as a result of it.
Yeah. And you have all those byproducts, specifically what's the English word? I'm missing it now.
From the digested protein, you mean?
Yeah, when you
uric acid or ammonia or what?
Ammonia, yeah. Of course, ammonia. Yeah. And uric acid is actually used to recycle or to get rid of the ammonia that's building up. And there has been a recent study published which actually showed that the ingestion, the chronic ingestion of very high amounts of BCAAs and the ensuing formation of ammonia will actually have ergolytic effects, so it will decrease the performance instead of increasing it.
Really?
So there's always a there are always downsides to having too much of a good thing, and with protein this can also be the case. So it is really not not absolutely necessary to stuff yourself with protein until there is no more. Because it is, in general, you only need relatively or comparably little to really build muscle or maintain muscle when you are not in a caloric deficit. And therefore, when you are trying to bulk, it's actually better to really provide your body with fuel that is more readily used, which is glucose or, on the other hand, also fat. So people often overlook that and try to say, well, I'm consuming, let's say, 500 grams of protein every day because I weigh 100 kilograms and I want to get my 5 grams of protein per day. I know that there are a couple of bodybuilding types out there who really like to do that. They actually force their bodies to burn the protein to get energy out of it. So this is not the best way to fuel any workout and even to fuel just sitting around.
You know, when I lived in Phoenix, I noticed for the first time in my life, and I don't think that it was just from eating too much protein. I think something else was going on, and I'll share. I was experimenting with very, very high doses of Anavar just to see what would happen. And I was taking upwards of 100 milligrams a day of Anavar, but I noticed that when I would walk to and from the gym and train, I could smell the ammonia in my sweat. And especially when I took my shirt off and smelled it, it smelled like someone had taken my shirt and submersed it in, you know, the pail that you would wash a floor with filled with ammonia. And I remember thinking to myself, I don't know if this is a good thing or a bad thing. You know, I wonder, is this good that my body is excreting all this ammonia, or is it bad that my body is producing all this ammonia? Do you think it's dangerous when you smell that level of ammonia on your in your perspiration?
It's a certain indicator that you are breaking down protein in a much too high rate, because usually you don't your body does not really have to sweat it out in amounts that will really make you smelly, so to say. On the other hand, it's obviously better it gets out through the skin than it stays in, because it has also toxic effects on the brain when it really builds up in the blood and is able to pass the blood-brain barrier, which happens when a certain threshold is reached. So it's better to sweat it out. But interestingly, this also happens in protein or in malnutrition in general, when your body starts to eat itself. Mm. Because in those instances, all metabolic processes which are usually used to get rid of waste products, they don't function properly. And therefore, we know that bulimics, for example, often have a really real problem with this ammonia smell. Also from the mouth, not just from the skin.
Well, it wasn't from my mouth, I can tell you that, but it was from my skin, and it was from when I sweat profusely, and this. The smell of ammonia was so strong that it startled me a couple times. I thought, what the hell is going on? And then I attributed it to perhaps compromised liver function because of the amounts of oral androgens I was using. Even though Anavar is considered very safe and a very weak androgen at 100 milligrams at a time, you know, clearly there's a lot of hepatic stress. Taking 100 milligrams a day.
And
so.
therefore maybe your skin had to take the load your liver usually does.
Yeah.
So It's also quite. You often see that disorders of the liver will be visible as problems with the skin. So this is a second pathway to get rid of what would usually be cleared by the liver and then excreted via the kidneys.
Right.
And if the liver has so much to do with some sort of methylated anabolic, then you are much more prone to those effects than if you are just eating very high amounts of protein.
I was going to say, people are probably thinking to themselves, Carl, why would you take 100 milligrams of Anavar anyway? And it's because I didn't expect it to be Anavar. It was supposed to be Anadrol, and it wasn't Anadrol. Uh-huh. Somebody made a mistake. And so I figured, okay, I'm going to take it anyway. I would have taken 100 milligrams of the Anadrol. I guess I'll just take 100 milligrams a day of the Anavar.
So. Oh. Well, at least you did survive. So.
Yeah.
And, of course, it's important that you really listen to your body and notice that there is something wrong. Because I know that sometimes people really disregard the signs of their own body. And this is actually where you're really in danger. Once you don't listen to problems your body is telling you about by starting to smell, for example,
yeah.
And then you're in trouble.
Yeah.
So that's really important. I just wanted to come back to the exercises wise.
Sure.
Because I personally feel that especially the leaner women will benefit from a faster-paced protocol. Maybe not the real old ones, because for them it's difficult sometimes to keep the pace up. But otherwise, there are much more benefits of a fast-paced workout, also in terms of the repetition speed, which should be rather in the range of 3 seconds for the or 4 seconds, 3 to 4 seconds for the whole repetition, not 5 seconds for each phase.
Right.
Or something I really appreciate is to explode on the concentric phase and to go slowly, comparably slowly, like 2 seconds or 3 seconds on the eccentric
right.
Part of the exercise. This is something that also works pretty good for hypertrophy and will thus have much more beneficial effects on the women. And there's been a recent study which actually showed that the activation of the muscle tissue, in this case measured by EMG data, so with those electrodes on the muscle tissue in order to measure how they contracted, they were able to show that done explosively, in this case lunges done explosively, had a much higher activity level than the usual hypertrophy tempo.
Yeah. We've come to the end of the show. Actually, we've gone about 17 minutes over. Is there anything else you want to close on? Because we have the holidays upon us, and we probably won't have another Subversity until sometime after the holidays.
Yeah, I just want to wish everybody a happy holidays. Maybe you will remember the gum arabicum, but I think during the holidays you should not think about everything you're eating and start to make yourself really crazy about counting calories and that you are going to be fat and whatever. It's important that you get back on the bandwagon as soon as possible when the holidays are over. But this is a time of the year you really get to enjoy yourself, and the best way I find to really avoid holiday weight gain is just by refraining from grazing on all those
right.
sweet items that are tempting you, and just stick to the main meals. Just with your family and eat whatever you want from the plate, but eat it eat only to the 3 times a day, for example, when the whole family comes together. And don't sit down and grab a peanut here and a walnut there and another hand of walnuts and another hand of peanuts from there and some cookies from your grandmother or so. Ignore those and stick to the main meals and you'll be fine. Everything you may be gaining in those days is probably water weight.
Yeah. No, absolutely. Stick to what you're doing already. You can still enjoy yourself and get to the gym. Don't think that you should take off right now. Get to the gym. Listen, Adele, I want to wish you happy holidays in Munster. We'll be in touch, And thank you so much for all the effort that you put into the show.
Thank you, Cal.
And I also want to thank, let's see here, David Aiello from BioAdvantex Pharma. They have a buy one, get one free on their PharmaNac. Check it out. Report back to me. Let me know if it really does increase your endurance, and my supposition that it may also affect strength because of the attenuation of the sodium-potassium pump in muscle cells. So check that out. And we'll see everybody tomorrow with an episode of Casual Friday. Thanks for listening.
This is the Superhuman Channel. Evolution just got kicked up a notch.